And if you would, take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 16. Men's Bible study, guys, this Tuesday, 6:30 here on property. All righty. Acts chapter number 16. How can I know that I'm in God's will? How do I know if this decision's in God's will? How do I know if I'm doing what God would have me to do? How do I discern God's will for my life? And those are common questions that come to me as a pastor. And we said last week that a lot of times believers live frustrated lives because they'll look at an isolated incident in the Bible and they think God's going to automatically work that way every time in their life. For example, look at Acts 16 and notice Paul's on his second missionary journey. The gospel of Christ is just beginning to go out to the world. And in Acts 16, look at verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now we'll bring up the map again and you see the big word Asia. Bible says they were forbidden. They were going to go there. And the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. How did He do it? I don't know how the Holy Spirit forbid them. We just know that He did. God wouldn't let them go there. And then in verse 7, it says, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered or allowed them not." So you look up at the map and you can find Bithynia up there right above Asia. And they wanted to go into Bithynia. And again, God would not let them. How? I don't know how it worked. The Bible doesn't say. But they were not allowed to go there. So they keep moving. Verse 8, it says, "And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas." You can find that on the map. Troas is over here on the coastline. And then you look down at verse 9. It says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Macedonia is over here in Europe. Okay. And then it says in verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, and immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." We said, you know, there's two key components to knowing God's will. Number one in your handout is you must discern God's will. That's the first thing. You must discern God's will. We spent a whole Sunday morning last week talking about this. And if I was to boil it down for you, I would boil it down in the statement right under that in your handout where it says, "Believers discern God's will as the Holy Spirit reveals to us God's Word." Reveals to us God's Word. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. "And reminds us of God's Word." That's another ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we discern God's will as the Holy Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit reveals the principles of God's Word. And then when we're out there living in the circumstances of life, the Holy Spirit reminds us of verses that we've studied and helps us to be able to go out and implement God's Word in our daily life and our daily decision making. Which brings me to the next point. Number two in your handout is this, is that we must do God's will. Once you discern it, you say, that's pretty logical, that's pretty simple. But how many of you agree with me that's one of the toughest challenges in life is doing God's will? You know, it's one thing to know it, but in your handout it says it's fruitless to know God's will if you do not do God's will. Are y'all with me? Say amen. All right, I can know it, but if I don't do it, I mean, listen, my kids know to make their bed every morning. They know that is the will of their mother. She is a stickler on that, aren't you, honey? And that is, the beds are made. Okay, now, they know the will of mother, but knowing the will of mother and doing the will of mother is two different things. In fact, when we go home today, I'll bet you that we'll experience that truth of that. Huh? Oh, you already caught? She said, "I already caught him." All right. So good. We caught him this morning, got him. All right. So it's funny. She's only 5 foot, but when she cracks the whip, everybody jumps. But You know, this thing of doing God's will, that's where we all fall short. Let's be honest. Okay? I mean, we hear God's word taught. We read it. It's in black and white. But then we got to act on it. We got to do it. James says, don't be just a hearer of the word. He said, be a what? A doer of the word. You know, God's will was revealed very clearly to Paul. Okay? That he wanted him to go into Europe. But now look at verse 10. It says, and after he had seen the vision, what's the next word? Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So do y'all get the idea here? There was no delay in this. When God finally revealed his plan, they got busy doing the will of God. They didn't sit around complaining and griping and, oh, that means we're going to have to board a ship and that means we're going to have to sail and, oh, yeah, no, making excuses why they couldn't do it. Immediately, they endeavored to get there. Now, as we learned last week, I'm going to review a little bit. Okay, question, does God instruct believers today in the body of Christ? Does he instruct us through visions, yes or no? No. You see, this thing of Paul, and that's why I say when you study God's word, you got to rightly divide it. This only happened one time. Paul, okay, this Macedonian call you hear about, that only happened once. He went on his whole entire first missionary journey, followed a logical sequence. There's no record of anything supernatural or God, you know, giving him a vision to go here or there. This is a very unique, isolated incident. When the gospel was first getting out, God was just beginning to reveal the dispensation of grace. He had just given Paul the gospel of Christ that he would preach to the Gentiles. This was a very special time period in history. Paul was on a very special mission. He did not have the completed Word of God. He probably had no New Testament at all. So today, I don't need a vision. I don't need a supernatural occurrence. I don't even need a set of circumstances to help me to discern God's will. I have God's will fully revealed to me in the Bible. We saw that last week. His will, his plan, was once a mystery. Now it's been fully revealed in the Bible. The Bible says he has made known, Ephesians 1:9, he has made known the mystery of his will. It's no longer a mystery. It's no longer a secret. We have the completed Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to teach us the Word of God, and then to remind us of the Word of God as we yield to the Holy Spirit, and as we seek to walk in the Spirit, he's there to remind us. Now, what is the will of God? How do I find the word? How do I find the will of God? Well, it's found in the Bible, rightly divided. Therefore, in your handout, it says, if there's a specific command found in God's word, you simply obey it. You just do it. If you find a command in the Bible, you do it. Let me give you a couple of examples here. If you'll turn your handout over, I'll give you a couple of examples. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Now this is pretty clear, isn't it? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That means holiness. That you should abstain from fornication. What's fornication? Fornication means sexual sin. So, I wonder, okay, a person says, should I or should I not have premarital intimacy? What's the answer? No. Why? How do I know that it's not? How do I know it's God's will that I not do that? The Bible, it reveals the will of God to me. See there? Now, let's look at the next verse in your handout. In everything give what? Thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, bad things come into my life, and I'm tempted to moan and grumble and complain and gripe. Should I do that or should I give thanks? Why? Well, it's the will of God. It's right here in black and white. Turn with me to the next book of your Bible, Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans chapter number 12. And I want to show you a verse here, Romans 12:2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, verse 2 says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or discern What is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. So according to that verse, my mind has to be renewed. Well, what's the where do I go to find truth that will renovate and renew my mind? The Word of God. That's the only thing I know of that's going to renew my mind. It's going to renovate it. It's going to get out. It's going to discard the worldly thinking and put in godly, Christ-centered thinking. It's the Word of God. So the Word of God renews my thinking processes in a present evil world. And then, so then the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, renews my mind, so that I can then in turn do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You say, well, what is the will of God? He tells you right in the chapter. He's going to go through it. He's going to give you a whole list of things that are in the will of God. Read Romans 12 sometime. You know what the will of God is? It's to love other people more than you love yourself. It's to serve God. It's to pray. It's to give. It's to live honestly. Hey, it's to return good for evil, not to seek revenge. It's to not hold on to bitterness and grudges. You see, as we study God's Word and we yield to the Holy Spirit, it renews our thinking processes so that we can then discern the will of God and go out and apply that in our daily circumstances. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, Pastor Dan, that's great, but what about gray areas? What about gray areas? What about gray areas that are not clearly revealed in the Bible? What do I do about things like what person do I marry? Well, I'd start with maybe somebody who wants to marry you. Amen. That's a good place to start. All right, who do I marry? Which job do I take? Which car do I buy? Which college do I go to? Do I take the job promotion and move my family, or do I not do that? Well, here's the deal. We learned last week, God's will, God's plan has been fully revealed for you in the Bible. God has a plan and He has a purpose for members of the body of Christ. And it's spelled out and it's described fully in detail in the Word of God. God's plan and purpose for you is spelled out in Paul's epistles very clearly. He's the one that writes directly to the body of Christ. And he spells out what God's plan, what God's purpose for you is, even what it's going to be in the ages to come. He tells you what his plan and purpose for your life is. Now, once you got saved, and I hope you're saved. Are you saved today? Do you know the Lord? All right, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, to help you understand God's word to you. And also to fill you with wisdom in how to apply it to the details of your life. Now stay with me. Through the completed Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit, God has enabled the believer to make wise choices. You don't need visions. You don't need dreams. You don't need audible voices. You don't need supernatural occurrences. You don't even need a set of circumstances, signs, to help you to discern God's will. The Bible says that all Scripture is profitable and it's able to fully furnish you, equip you to good works. So, what is God's plan? What is God's will? The Word of God, I want you to picture something with me, and I'm going to bring a graphic up here in a moment. Not right now, but in a moment. The Word of God draws the circle. You can go ahead and bring it up. Go ahead and click it up. Let's bring it up. Can we do that? All right. The Word of God draws the circle of God's will. All right. So I take this book, I read it, I study it, I rightly divide it, and it will draw for me the circle of God's will for my life. Now, in your handout it says, as a believer, you are free in Christ to live within that circle on the basis of faith. You are free to live within that circle, make choices on the basis of faith. Now, what is that? What does God give to us? He gives us freedom of choice within revealed limits. If we go back to the circle again, there are limits, there are boundaries. Now, this is something we're used to in our society. Our society functions this way, so this is not something odd or unusual. Governmental systems have copied God, basically, what they've done. They're built upon the foundation of what God has laid. Think about it. You go to the beach. And there's a sign, okay? And it's got the rules of the beach, you know, that you can't do this and you can't do that and you got to listen to the lifeguard and blah, blah, blah. All right, so it gives you all these rules. So you're out there at the beach and you're thinking, well, man, I don't know if I ought to be able to do this. So you go up to the lifeguard and you get the lifeguard to come down from the thing up there. And you say, sir, I'm just wondering, is it okay if me and my friend throw the frisbee on the beach? He looks at you like you're a nut. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure that I was in the will of the lifeguard here and that, yeah, it's fine. So you do that for a while. You come back, Mr. Lifeguard. He comes back down again. Yeah. Can we throw the football? Yeah, you can throw the football. So you go and you throw the football for a while. You come back, Mr. Lifeguard. He comes back down again. I was wanting to get in the ocean and I wanted to do the backstroke. Is that okay? Finally, he says to you, look, unless it's on the sign, do it! The sign there sets the boundary, and you are free to make choices for what you want to do at the beach within the revealed limits. So see, we function that way in society. Now, are there things that are outside the circle of God's Word, yes or no? Yes, for example, I'll bring up a few. Let's bring them up. Should I do this shady business deal? Well, let me ask them, is that in the circle? No. So, all right, let's do the next clip. That's out of the circle. All right, let's bring up the next one. Should I live together with my girlfriend? Is that in the circle or out? That's out. So we know that's not the will of God. We already know that. Okay, that's not in the circle. We go to the next one, okay? Let's go to that. Should I get revenge on this person who did me wrong? I don't get mad, I just get even. Is that in the will of God? Is that in the circle? No, so we know that's not. Let's go to the next one. Should I hold on to bitterness and grudges? Is that in the circle? No, so we know that's not in the circle. All right, that's outside of His will, so I shouldn't do that. Let's go to the next one. Okay, should I just move without paying my landlord? No, that's outside the circle, so let's go ahead and click that. So we know. Now, these things are all outside the circle of God's Word. Therefore, they are out of the what? The will of God. They're outside the will of God for my life. But if a particular decision that I need to make is not addressed by God's commands, and my goals and attitudes are right, then you cannot sin with regard to the decision in itself. Let me say that again. If there's a decision you need to make, it's not addressed by God's commands, your goals and attitudes are right, you cannot sin with regard to the decision in itself. Let me give you an example. All right, let's bring up a verse here. I hit on this a little bit Wednesday night, but we're going to do a little bit more. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, God creates Adam and Eve, puts them in the garden. There's all kinds of trees and all kind of manner of fruits and things that are good for food. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? Freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You know what that is? That is freedom of choice within revealed limits. God drew the circle of His Word, and as long as Adam and Eve stayed in the circle, God didn't care what they chose. Let's go ahead and bring up the next thing. Go ahead and click it. He didn't care if they chose. Okay, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But He didn't care if they chose a banana. He didn't care if they chose an apple. He didn't care if they chose a pineapple. He didn't care if they chose a peach. All those are in the circle, and they had freedom of choice. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's outside the circle. So they know they're out of the will of God when they do that. And I told the church Wednesday night, can you imagine Adam bringing a big old basket full of different kinds of fruits to Eve? And he tells Eve, I'm getting hungry. You know, make some supper. And Eve says, well, you know, I don't want to miss God's will here. I need God's guidance. And I don't want to miss His will on this decision. This is the first decision, and I don't want to miss His will here. And so I want you to go ask God what kind of fruit that He would, you know, have me to make tonight. And so Adam goes and asks God, and God simply repeats to him Genesis 2:16 and 17. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. So he goes back, he tells Eve, God just told me what he told me the first time. He just repeated it. She said, what am I supposed to do? He said, go with apples. So she says, okay. Pretty soon she says, Adam, I got another problem. What's that? I don't know how to make them. I don't know what God's will is, how he'd have me make the apples, whether to slice them or dice them or mash them or bake them in a pie or make a cobbler. I don't know how God would have me make these. I don't want to miss God's will. Please go ask God how he'd have me make these. So Adam goes back to God, comes back. Funny thing. He just told me what he told me the first time. Of all the trees in the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. They looked at each other, and finally Adam said, you know what, Eve? What? I think God wants us to decide that. I think he wants us to choose that. Just like he had me choose every single name to name the animals, and he let me decide, I think he wants us to make those decisions. And I know there's no fruit in there from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I know all that's okay. And Eve said, so in other words, Adam, what you're saying is that we can't miss God's will with any of this fruit. Bingo. Bingo. They have freedom of choice within revealed limits. That's what Paul meant. Let me bring up a verse here, 1 Corinthians 6:12. Paul, this is what he meant when he said this. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That is, for my best long-term advantage. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What he's saying there is, as long as I'm in the circle of God's Word, all things are lawful for me. I'm free to do whatever I desire. I'm in the circle. I'm in the plan. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Let's go to the next one here, the next verse. Remember this one? I think I brought this up at the end of last week. He's talking about widows in the church. And he says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at what? Liberty to be married to who? Whom she will. But then he draws the circle and he says, only what? What does that mean? That means that she's free to marry whoever she wants to marry, but the person has to be what? Got to be a believer, got to be a Christian. Now, notice, it did not say they got to be short, tall, fat, skinny, blonde, brunette, redheaded, or bald-headed. That's up to you. You are free and you are responsible to make those decisions. Look, I met Denise at Bible college, up at Jacksonville, Florida. And folks, I'm just going to tell you right out, and I know some of you may leave here and think, well, we don't have a very spiritual preacher. But I'm just going to be honest with you because I think it's going to help some of you to know this. There was no sign from God that that was the one. There was no unique, weird set of circumstances that was a signal from God that is the one for me. There was none of that. You say, well, how did it happen? We met. I knew she was a Christian. I knew she loved the Lord. I could tell the way she was serving God that she loved God. She wanted to serve God. And bottom line is, I thought she was the prettiest one there. So I thought, you know, when she showed an interest in me and I showed an interest, I thought, well, boy, this is great. You know, this is great. There's no sign. There's no vision. There was no dream. There was no inner impression, this is the one for you. I just thought she was one hot chick, let me tell you, you know. That's what I thought about the thing. I'm just being honest with you right now, all right? Now, I'm just telling you the truth. And she thought I was a hunk, you know, I mean. Just being honest with you. But you know, hey. No visions, no signs, none of that. Just a very logical, natural thing that happened. And
We fought and argued. I think we broke up 3 times while we dated. Got mad at each other, you know. Break up. Then we couldn't. It was one of those things we couldn't live with each. Couldn't live with them. Couldn't live without them, you know. It's just 25 years this year, you know. But there were no signs. There were no visions. Bible says she can marry whoever she wants to, as long as that person's in the Lord. You're free to make those choices. You're responsible to make those decisions. Now, are there things in the Bible that would give us guidance about the kind of person we ought to look for? Yes or no? Well, yeah, we know they got to be in the Lord. And you've got, it's lawful for you to marry anybody in the Lord. But it would be expedient for you to find somebody who not only is saved, but loves God and wants to serve God. Amen? So that's expedient. That's what he means when he says all things are lawful, but you're not sinning by marrying somebody who's saved that isn't on fire for the Lord, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's not expedient. It can cause a lot of problems. If you're on fire for Jesus and they're not, it's probably not expedient. Lawful, but not expedient. In your handout, that brings me to my next statement in the handout. It says, there may be choices that are lawful for me to make, but simply are not expedient. That is, they are not for my best long-term advantage. All right, look up here. Let me give you an illustration, all right? Let's say that you're going to buy a house. You narrow it down to 2 houses. All right, you narrow it down to 2 houses. We'll bring up a graphic here to kind of help. Remember, we talk about the circle of God's Word? So you got 2 houses you're looking at. You've narrowed it down. One of the houses is not quite as nice. It's maybe a fixer-upper. We'll go ahead and bring that up. You know, it's a modest home, but it's affordable. It's very affordable in your budget, okay? Now, the other house you're looking at, maybe it's a really great deal. It's an awesome deal. Maybe it's a foreclosure. And boy, I mean, you could stretch your budget to the max and barely make it. Now, if anything goes wrong in life, or if anything unexpected arises as far as expenses go, you're going to be in deep trouble. Now, let's go ahead and do the next click. Now, how do you decide between those 2 houses? Now, are you free in Christ to buy either one, yes or no? Yes. But you are responsible to take God's principles, apply them to your situation, and make a decision that is expedient and that is wise. Now, most believers don't do it that way. Most believers are looking for a sign from God about it. So here's what they do. They'll go to their dream home. And they'll say, now God, I know that this house is going to be a very tight budget if I buy this house. So God, if you want me to have this house, then God, I'm asking you for a sign as I go look at this house. Please give me a sign. And you say, man, I was walking into one of the bedrooms and the former owner had left something on the wall and it was a Bible verse. And I knew that that was God telling me right then. That was God telling me that was the house he wanted me to have. Now, that's how a lot of people live their Christian life. They base everything on circumstantial stuff. Now, you and I both know, we're both mature and adult enough to know that if that's the house you want, and you're looking for divine justification, you're going to find a sign from God somewhere in that house. You know, you're walking through the house. Ah, it's got running water. Jesus said, I am the living water. Thank you, Lord. It's a sign. Well, I'll be. Look at this, honey. There's a door in the house. Jesus said, I am the door. Yep, this is the one. Come on. Let's get real. Let's get real. Now, here's the sad part about that. You want to know what the tragic thing about that is? That same person, 2 years later, can't pay their mortgage, and you know who they blame? They blame God. I know God wanted me to have this house. The verse was on the wall. I know that he told me this was the house he wanted me to have. He told me. How'd he tell you? He spoke to you? Gave you a vision? I mean, how did he tell you that? Well, I just know. I knew this was the house. And I don't know why God led me to buy this house and now is letting me lose it. I don't know what he's doing. And God gets blamed for so much, doesn't he? God gets such a bad rap. We make a decision, we're going to change jobs, or we make a decision, we're going to move, or we make a decision, we're going to do this or that, and then it doesn't work out. Oh, I don't understand why God did this to me. I don't understand why God... No, you made that decision. You did that. You see, Christians live their lives on the basis of outward signs and inner feelings and impressions, because that's easier in the moment than to dig in and read and study this book and pray and seek to make expedient decisions and then take responsibility and then take accountability for our decisions. It's a lot easier to just say, I got this inner impression and I know God's leading me. It's easier to do that than to do the other thing. Read and study. Look at that thing. Evaluate it. Use the wisdom God wants you to use. Seek to make an expedient, then take responsibility for the decision. Do I take the job promotion? Do I uproot my family? Do I move? You evaluate. You pray. You look at it through the lens of Scripture. You take any principles, apply it to that situation. You make a decision. You're fine. You're not out of the will of God either way. You've got freedom of choice with revealed limits. And I don't know of a verse that says that thou shalt move or thou shalt take this job or that job. No, you've got freedom of choice with revealed limits, just like Adam and Eve had. You say, well, wow, I know some of you right now is blowing your mind because you're thinking, well, wow, that puts the onus on me and my study and my right division and on using wisdom. Right. Right. What if I make a bad decision? You know what you do? You admit it. You recognize it. You go back and try to fix it if you can. And you go through the problem-solving methodology that grace has provided. And then you know what you do? You learn from that mistake, you grow from it, and your maturity advances. Every decision you make is not going to be a slam dunk. We're going to blow it. We're going to mess up. We're going to make bad decisions. And it's not that we were out of the will of God. It's just we made a bad decision. We were in the circle. We weren't violating any scriptural command. But it turned out not to be expedient. So you go back and you use that problem-solving methodology that grace has provided for you, and you do that. In your handout it says, God is not going to send you signs and make all those decisions in life for you. He has made you competent through His Word and through His Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is actively involved in your life. But now listen to me. Listen to me. God is personally involved in your life, but listen, not in some subjective feelings-based way. There's something about us, we want that ooey-gooey emotional, you know, this feeling. No, He's not. The Holy Spirit is not involved in your life in some subjective feelings-based way. That's too subjective. That's too much. I mean, the feeling could come from a variety of places. We get feelings from all kinds of things. The Holy Spirit's involved in your life through the objective working of God's Word working in you. He told the Thessalonians that they believed the Word of God and it was effectually working in them. They were living it out. See, a child can manifest wisdom because he's told to. Right? I mean, next door, Brother Clint's teaching junior church. And those kids sit up and they listen because they're told to. Maybe they're promised candy if they do it. You guys are all sitting up and listening. But it's not because you've been told to. And it's not because we're going to give you candy when you leave today. You are sitting up and listening based on maturity. A child makes decisions because he's told to. He can manifest wisdom, a child, because he's told to. An adult can make wise decisions based upon maturity. Now, how does God treat you? The Galatians 4 says He treats us as adults in His family. He wants you to make decisions based on maturity from His Word. Not because He held your hand
and made you do this or that. Now, if you have a decision to make among equal options, neither one's outside the circle of the revealed will of God in His Word. God gives you the privilege and He gives you that responsibility to make those choices. We are to live in the sonship identity that He's given us in Christ. And as we do that, we are able to discern and do God's will found in His Word. He has made you competent. Now, a lot of people, they make decisions, kind of like Gideon did, based on a circumstance. You know, the fleece. And God, I'll know You're in this if You do this. And Christians do that all the time. God, I'll know You're in this if they accept this offer. I know that You're in this if the phone rings by this time. I'll know You're in this if that. And is that how God wants? Tonight we're going to deal with that. And tonight I am going to show you the incredible dangers of living your Christian life that way. You are not to live your life based upon outer circumstances, and circumstances are not how God wants you to live your life. He doesn't want you making decisions based upon a sign or a circumstance. No, God wants you to make decisions based upon His Word. Then you take His Word, which renews your mind, and you go out and you apply that renewed mind to the circumstances of your life. Now, I know that's new thinking for some of you. But you know what? That's biblical thinking. I'm going to tell you right now, when you read verses like what we read earlier, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. When you read things like what we read earlier, she's free to marry whom she will. You know what you see Paul talking about? It pleased us to do this or that. We thought it good to send Timothy to you. We don't talk that way. We talk as, well, you know, we had this inner impression that we needed to send Timothy to you, and we just really felt like God was leading us to send Timothy to you. He's like, no. Paul just said, you know what? We were in Athens, but we thought it good to send Timothy to you. I purpose to do this, he said several places. See, the whole Christian lingo we use today, you really need to examine that in light of the Bible, rightly divided. And what that does, that whole thing of living your life based on these signs and visions or circumstances, that encourages immaturity. Immaturity. And tonight, we're going to look at that in more detail. So I hope you'll be back at 6 o'clock tonight. Let me give you that last thing in your handout there. What does Psalm 119 say? Thy what is a lamp? It's the Word of God that's a lamp unto your feet. Not your inner impressions, not your inner feelings, not your circumstances, the Word. And then it says, it's a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 133 says, order my steps in thy what? Word. Order my steps in thy Word. Freedom of choice within revealed limits. That's how God would have us to live our lives. That's how we do God's will. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for Your Word today. Lord, I pray, Father, that we will learn and we will grow. I pray, Father, that, Lord, we will realize that You do treat us as adult children. You've given us the completed Word of God. You've given us the Holy Spirit. We are fully equipped and competent to go out and make choices on the landscape of life. And You're not going to make those choices for us, no more than You made them for Adam and Eve. We make those choices based on the renewed mind that Your Word gives us.